Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to episode number 78 of the Car Wash. On today's show, we react to Bafana's triumph against Uganda. And Buchanan has a new club. Whether you are tuning in on slpodcast.co.za, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or Mahi King 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I am your host, Aiden, and of course, I am not alone. I am joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Sean Roberts. How are you doing?
Yes, sir. Fantastic. Thank you.
Easy. I am also joined by former Bafana Bafana, Orlando Pirates, and Mamelodi Sundowns star, the general himself, Teko Modise. What's cracking?
Hey, what's crack-a-lack indeed.
How's everyone doing today?
Cold. Jesus, cold, bro.
No, it's nice and sunny in South Africa. South Africa meaning in Joburg. Sorry.
It's cold, bro.
No, it seems like it's cold in the Western Cape, but we digress. Like always, it's the time of the show where I pass the mic to the big man himself, Sean Roberts, coming in with the joke of the day.
So what happens when you slap Dwayne Johnson in the butt? You hit rock bottom.
The hell is Dwayne Johnson?
That's not bad. You know Dwayne Johnson, Jacob?
Yeah, The Rock.
There we go. You hit rock bottom. Bam. Tough out there, boy.
I love it. I saw it this morning when I woke up and just scrolling through my social medias and all of that. I saved it. I loved it. I saw something with it. So I knew as soon as you said the first like three words, I was like, hey, I like it.
I'm glad you approve.
You have my blessing, Sean.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. However, from there, we move into pole position. Pole position. Pole position.
What did you say?
You guys, I always full with blessings. Yeah, you have my blessing. On a joke, you have my blessing. You have my blessing.
We're trying to build each other up, bro.
Okay. Right. Pole position is a segment where we ask our fans and our supporters club a certain question and get voice note replies. Well, tomorrow is semi-final day on the African continent, more specifically the CAF Champions League. Chiefs are playing Wydad away in Morocco. This is a huge event in Chiefs' history, and the news of a new coach, we asked our fans, how will Kaizer Chiefs manage in the first semi-final against Wydad, and here's what you all have to say.
I think they need to be more defensive when they're playing away. When they're coming to FNB, they know what they need to attack.
They must just keep it tight at the back. They must not allow Wydad to score as many goals as they can. And Chiefs must also try by all means to try and score one or two goals. Even if Wydad can score more than two goals, at least if the Chiefs can be able to score one or two goals.
I would advise Kaizer Chiefs to play a 4-4-2 formation, information that can balance to attack and to defend. They must make sure they score first, although they must not put them under pressure. The away goal will be more important.
Well, the return of Stuart Bester has made the guys to be highly motivated. So I don't see them losing the game. I'm sure they will fight for a draw, which will suit them better in terms of the second leg at FNB Stadium.
I strongly believe that our boys will make it to the next round.
Yeah, Kaizer Chiefs might just go there and play the normal game and make sure the midfield is even competitive, so that they must not allow Wydad to give our defense any problems, because that team is very, very good on the counter. So Chiefs must not allow them to play. Must just score the goal and make sure that we squeeze our midfield so that the midfield can be strong and prevent them from playing the normal game, so that they might just play long balls.
I think Kaizer Chiefs is going to do very well, considering that Kaizer Chiefs, they just recently announced a new coach, and then every player would like to play good and then being recognized by a new coach.
I think for now we don't have to pressurize the boys. We are playing away and we have an advantage to play home for our last game. So I think now we can maintain at least the Arga Tamika draw or Rajwa 1-0. So we don't have to let that team to score more than two or three goals, because it's a good team. So they are going, they are now on 12 games unbeaten. So I think we have to try and maintain that game.
Okay, guys, what do you make of this fixture? Chiefs are playing in their first ever CAF Champions League tournament. They're obviously their first semi-final. They did meet Wydad in the group stages. Wydad won the first match of those two 4-0. Chiefs won the second game 1-0. Both games saw Chiefs getting a red card. How will Chiefs manage this time round? There's obviously been a few changes in the Amakhosi team camp, new coach and all of that.
Yeah, having spoken to a few players from Chiefs this week, the difference in the mood in the camp, they said, it's just literally shifted completely. And again, this is no disrespect to any previous coaches there, but I think sometimes what you see when a new face, a familiar face, returns, is a whole different bounce of energy. And yeah, the guys are buzzing at training. I think this possibly, and maybe this was the angle, because we were a bit skeptical of why did Gavin Hunt leave, you know, when they've got the semis, and maybe this was their chain of thought in terms of a new energy, and maybe this could get them over the line. And I honestly believe there's a possibility here. So, you know, how will they manage the first semi-final? I think, fingers crossed, I think we're in for a good result for the Chiefs faithful. And I think the addition of Stuart Baxter is, I think the timing has been, now I've seen everything and now I've understood what's happened. I think the timing's been perfect. I really do. So I think they'll manage fine. I think we're in for a surprise. I think we're in for a Chiefs victory, in my opinion, and then hopefully another home victory. So, Aid, I think it's all positive.
Teko, what do you make of this game coming up on Friday?
I think it's a big and a huge plus for Kaizer Chiefs that Stuart Baxter is traveling with them. So therefore, he'll be still, you know, be able to see the guys and with what...
Is he traveling with him?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so that's obviously changed.
Has he gotten his permits?
Work permits and traveling permits are different. Right? No, he hasn't got his work permit. But traveling, I don't think it should be an issue. But with his presence around, I think, like Shona said, in terms of the mood wise, you forever want to see him. You want to interact with the players as soon as possible as a coach. Mm. And with such a huge game, it's your presence is very important, and also to find out from the guys as well how they feel about the game. And I think with Stuart Baxter, I think he works more on the psychological part, so I think it will work better for them. He knows this type of situations, and I think with Kaizer Chiefs as well as the players, even though they had a bad season here, but they know what it takes now. To they have an idea of continental football, so they don't need to lose that side, irrespective of how they play. They don't need to lose, you know. An away goal will be very, very important whenever they come back home. Yeah. So for me, I think it's positive result, in the sense of if they don't get those points, they do have that away goal that will help them come when they play home.
Yeah, no, I think it's important here as well, Tex, is that I don't know if it's been announced or, but I'm almost 100% sure that Zwane and Sheppy will be Stuart Baxter's assistance, which is you know, what we've been pushing for in terms of local coaches,
yeah, man,
being promoted. And I think it's great, don't you think?
Look, man, it's fantastic to have such young guys being in such a huge institution. I think it's the right step in the right direction, and Sheppy now get closer to the boys, and Sheppy's good working with the youngsters. Atta is good working with the youngsters. Stuart Pat has always been saying Kaizer Chiefs need a youngster, so the mentality is the same. So Kaizer Chiefs done well now, but it's up to the players as well, and we'll see. It'll be very interesting to see who comes in, who's going to be announced as Kaizer Chiefs players. So we'll be here. We'll be scrutinizing and criticizing and congratulating, doing all those type of stuff. But it will be very interesting to see what's going to happen with Kaizer Chiefs. But it's great that the coach that actually trusts and that works well, so well with them, is back into the team. Yes, things didn't go well with Gavin Hunt. There's no secret with that. He didn't do well. He's a good coach, but he didn't do well. That's the bottom line. And Kaizer Chiefs had to do what they had to do.
Okay, so if we just, you know, jog our memories and think about what was said in those voice notes, a lot of the fans have said that Kaizer Chiefs should basically play a defensive game not concede any goals, but try score one away goal. Is it the right move for Chief to be on the back foot there?
No.
No, I agree with Ted. No. You've got to go, man. There's nothing to lose here. Chiefs are in the semi-finals. You say it's never been done before. It's everything or nothing. And I honestly believe if they give everything, they've got a chance.
Look, Sean, I also think that if you approach the game cautiously, that's okay. That's fine. But don't sit back. Don't absorb the pressure because Champions League is funny, my friend. You absorb the pressure, 2 minutes to go, two penalties. Then you regret your 88 minutes of playing defensively. So I think they need to approach the game cautiously, but they need to score. Mm. They need to play like they're playing in Polokwane.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, they with the chances of winning the game, if the chances are there, win the game because you're not sure what's going to happen in the second round. So I think Kaizer Chiefs should go all out. I mean, this is probably maybe who knows if they will be in the Champions League again soon. So they need to do whatever they can to win it. I mean, they even in the semi final.
Yeah, man. I mean, I heard they got the Sunday off, yesterday off, training today, and they travel tomorrow. So they've got a good few days to acclimatize when they arrive in Morocco. So yeah, all the best.
What's the travel time to Morocco?
I don't know. It's a good question. A good 5 or 6 hours. I would say nothing less because it's North Africa, right?
Yeah, I think it's probably my eight hours, something like that, 7 hours.
Yeah, so it's a proper trip.
But I don't think they're connecting, though. I think they're flying well, though. I think they chartered a flight or something like that. I don't think they...
I would imagine so.
It's going to be good for them. So that's how you win Champions League, my friend. Charter. In and out.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Not fly SFA.
And then you connect forever, my friend. you get there next month on the 11th.
Leave Wednesday, arrive Friday.
Okay, guys. Let's stay with some local here, more specifically national in South Africa. Bafana came up against Uganda last week in an international friendly. It was a pretty damn exciting game, up and down on the score sheet. Uganda did open the scoring in the 17th minute, but a goal by Bongo Kule Hlongwane and a brace by debutant Evidence Makopa allowed Bafana to claw back from 1-0 down to win 3-2. Obviously, they were without newly appointed head coach Hugo Bruce, who was in Belgium, and of course missing a few players due to being positive with COVID, as well as some injuries. It's a pretty good result for the boys here. Listening to a comment from assistant coach Hellman, he said that there's still some preparation that needs to be done. He says that the guys are playing sideways passes too often and not building up from the back. Is this true? Did you see it? Was it evident in the game?
Look, I must be honest, that's more Teko's expertise coming in, but what I can say is the names that have been flying off myself and Teko's mouth over the past few months, you know, your Kutumelas, your Hlongwanes, your Makupas, and they really have been given this opportunity to shine, which they did. Obviously not Bafana's first strength squad by any means, but they put in a good shift. You must remember they didn't play against a massive name brand either, so I think they'll be a bit disappointed in conceding the two goals. With what Holman has said, of course, there's always room for improvement, without a doubt. But take nothing away that scoring three goals in a national game is quite a big feat. And you don't see that very often. But I think they'll be a little bit concerned about conceding as well. So, but having said that, going 1-0 down, coming back, which is the fighting spirit you want to see. So, yeah, let's not get too excited just yet, but it's a result nevertheless. And yeah, well done. And so happy for these guys to put in a performance the way they did.
Yeah, man. And I think also it's always great to build on with a victory. Even though they're not so much happy with how they build up and how they play, but it's easier. Mm. To relay the message when the victory is there. And I think since we're in the building phase as well, I think it's important as well to build on to those type of victories and bear in mind as well that most of the guys that were there were also nervous because there is a new coach, and most of them, they don't have enough international or Bafana experience. So we need to build up from that. So those are positive results. Young boys being given a chance and they raised their hands, scored goals. Mm-hmm. Just build up from there. And let's see where it takes us, because we also, with as much as we didn't play like a big name, but it's also important that also we didn't have big names within our team as well.
Correct.
You know, so building up from there, getting that confidence, making sure that the players understand the magnitude of playing for Bafana Bafana, and yeah, let's see what happens in the next game.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like everyone says, the big games, the big names. But you know, if the bigger names are not playing and the non-bigger names are starting and performing, you know, who are really the bigger names? So we've always said getting these players in and, you know, make sure they start and then they come in, they're not performing. And but you know, as Teko said, very cool to see the youngsters being given a chance and performing. And yes, not against a big team, but certainly a rare victory for Bafana. Is that fair to say? It's not often you see that. But yeah, well done, guys. Super chuffed with that. But moving on, Keegan Buchanan text. Sounds for AmaZulu.
Hello.
I sort of saw that coming. I think it's a good signing for AmaZulu. I was also very shocked that he was released so early from his contract from Maritzburg, considering where they were in the league at that time. There was obviously backroom stuff that was going on, but there was even talks of Buchanan being linked back to Chiefs again, which I didn't see that happening, to be honest. But I think he suits AmaZulu's style of play. He's a great link between the defense and the strikers, and he's a hell of a good player when he's on form. What do you think, Teko?
I think you can tell that with AmaZulu, what their intentions are. They just want to reinforce the team and with good qualities as well, because also you have your Majoros that have just renewed the contract. You see that they want to keep the team and move forward. And with Keegan as well, I think he's a different type of a player than all the players that they have. With AmaZulu, they do have the players that have the energy that works so well together, but they don't have a good passer of the ball. And Keegan will actually be very, very vital in that aspect of his game. And I think working with Benny as well, that might help him as well, you know, come back to his best, because when Keegan is at his best, he's one of the best passers in the league.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, it's a great move. AmaZulu are doing good on the market. Yeah, man. And also, you know, Keegan from fighting relegation going to play continental football. So that's how football is. It'll be very interesting as well to hear what he had to say about what happened with him at Maurice, because it was shocking. Mm. We didn't expect that to happen, especially like you said, Sean, when Maritzburg were fighting relegation and especially in that position, letting go of one of their star players that plays regularly. But yet again, you know, football gives, when one door closes, I guess the other one opens, and here he is now going to play for a team that actually is going to participate in CAF. So that's great for him.
Yeah, I did. And I follow him on social media. He's certainly been keeping super fit as well. So good luck, Keegs, and let's see how AmaZulu do with him in the mastering the midfield next season.
Exciting times ahead indeed. It is now time for the International News Desk with Sokola Duma's international news correspondent Kurt Buckfield. This was recorded in post. Take a listen and enjoy. We are joined now by Sokola Duma's international news correspondent, Kurt Buckfield. How are you doing today, Kurt?
I'm good, thanks, Aidan. How are you doing, man?
Yes, my friend. All good, my side. Thank you so much. All right, let's kick off straight away. It has now been a week of the 2020 European Championships. What has been your overall reaction and reviews of the games that have been played? We have seen a few amazing goals, with Schick possibly having the goal of the tournament, and a few pretty interesting results. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think the tournament has started off really well. I can't quite believe that the first round of fixtures is already done. I can't believe we're already into the second round. So it's been a lot of football over the last few days. But no, I've been excited. I think, you know, if I look back at the fixtures, I think Italy have really, really impressed me. We spoke about them last week.
Yes.
They've been really, really good. 2-3-0 wins. But no, I think the standard of football has been pretty good. I know that international football is slightly slower than club football. Of course, players don't get to train with these guys week in and week out.
Mm.
But it's still a great spectacle. It's just amazing being able to see so many big players feature in the same side. And I know we get that at club level, but it's just awesome when they're all countrymen.
This seems a bit different internationally.
Yes, and you know, it's that time of the year when you're watching a match and go, oh, I forgot that guy plays for that country and he plays with that player. And it's cool to see these guys from all over the world link up you know, for their countries, or, and I mean all over the world, I mean all around Europe, playing for different clubs, and now they get together for their countries, and you know, seeing Granit Xhaka and Shaqiri at Switzerland, and seeing all the Spanish internationals from all around Europe get together. But no, I've really enjoyed the football, and I can't wait to see how this tournament continues to unfold.
It's unbelievable. However, we saw Portugal come up against Hungary on Tuesday, I believe it was, and Cristiano Ronaldo did score a brace in that game. However, he has now become the leading goal scorer in the European Championships. He has surpassed Platini's record of 9. Ronaldo currently sits with 11. We did mention this and bring it up on last week's Car Wash. He is only 4 goals away now from the all-time international goal scoring record. Is he able to do it with that extra boost of confidence?
So, absolutely. I mean, Ronaldo will break that record, and I think Ronaldo always had this record in mind, and I think it will be his greatest one yet. It's the greatest milestone, landmark, you know, yet. So I think, yes, Ronaldo will break a record. I don't think that was ever in question. You know, I think since he's turned 30, I saw some stat that said Ronaldo has got something like, I might be wrong, something like 48 goals in his last 48 games, or something of the sort, since he's turned 30 for Portugal. So that record now, you know, is within touching distance. He scored a brace against Hungary. And again, I think we discussed it last week, but if Portugal go the distance, or if they get out the group, which I assume they will, they get out the group and go to the quarterfinals, perhaps the semifinals, you know, Ronaldo could possibly break that record in this tournament already.
Yeah.
And he will be at the 2022 World Cup next year too, in Qatar. So no, I mean, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of time. It's absolutely going to happen. And it was, I think, into the 80th minute where it was 0-0, and Hungary had actually had a goal chopped off by VAR, and the stadium just erupted, and it felt like one of those games where it could possibly swing in their favor, and they scored that goal. And the linesman's flag was up, but it felt like one of those games where, you know, could Portugal really drop points here? But then from the 80th minute, they score that deflected goal, which must have really hurt Hungary. And then Portugal go and make it 3-0 with Ronaldo scoring that brace.
Brilliant effort the whole game, and then from the 80th minute onwards,
heartbreaking stuff.
It's like 10 more minutes, like last push, and unfortunately. I mean, I guess it was inevitable that Portugal were going to come out on top. So if you look at their team sheet on paper, theoretically, they're one of the best in the tournament. But only time will tell how far they will go. I think the entire footballing community knows about this, and it's definitely the biggest talking point of match day one, so to say. Match week one. Christian Eriksen collapsing during Denmark versus Finland. The Inter Milan star did go into cardiac arrest, and doctors and team doctors did announce that his heart had indeed stopped. Pretty scary situations going on there. Simon Kjær, captain of Denmark, what a legend. Like, unbelievable the way he managed a situation. But also, let's just give a round of applause to the medical staff that actually resuscitated him, you know, within a few seconds, you know. Can you give us an update on the latest there? I saw a random article actually by quite a recognized website that Christian Eriksen may not be able to play in Italy anymore, because apparently they have some law in sport that if you have heart issues, you aren't allowed to play sport there.
So firstly, I also just want to say that Simon Kjær's his actions after that moment were just so admirable, and that for me was, you know, the most touching. That was for me the most touching moment, Aiden, was like looking at his response and how he put all of his own feelings aside just to protect Eriksen first, to save his life, essentially. He stopped Eriksen from swallowing his tongue. He then tells his teammates to form that human shield around Eriksen's body while the medical staff are working on him.
Camera footage, correct?
To prevent that. Then he consoles Eriksen's wife. And for me, it was just the ultimate act of bravery where he puts everything aside. Denmark were, you know, as we we've later learned, essentially forced to carry on that game, it seems, at least. Yeah, that's what's been said.
That's come up now.
Yeah. And then, you know, when the game resumes, Kerr, he couldn't continue. And the coach said that he was just, you know, overcome with emotion and he couldn't go on anymore. And I think that that was just the ultimate, you know, sacrifice, really, for his team, for Eriksson's wife and kids, was to just put himself through all of that. At the end of the day, he couldn't go on anymore. You know, it was obviously horrible for him, as it was for everybody at the stadium, for the team. But I just thought that that was just such bravery from that guy. And I think he's earned respect all around the world. And nobody will forget those actions. You know, nobody will forget that. It was just so awesome to see. I mean, it was just great leadership. Really touching, you know, goosebumps thinking about it. And what an emotional moment. I was actually busy when that game was on. I was, you know, at a birthday. And my phone was just being hit up. And I went on Twitter. Somebody in one of the WhatsApp groups I'm in had sent the video. You know, they shouldn't be doing that. But I saw the video and it was just terrifying, man. You know, for a moment or for a few moments, it felt like we had lost Eriksson, which would have just been heartbreaking. But seeing the way his teammates, you know, kind of manned up in that moment and dealt with it, yeah, just incredible. They should never have been made to play that game, but what an incredible moment. So the latest, Aiden, is that Eriksson is going to be, this news broke actually on Thursday, is that he'll be fitted with a heart starter device, which I think the technical term for that, it is called an ICD, it's called an implantable cardioverter defibrillator. It's essentially a battery powered device placed in like your chest to monitor your heart rhythm and detect irregular heartbeats. So I don't know what that means for Eriksson's career as a footballer. I don't know if Eriksson would be able to continue playing. I hope that he is able to, but look, at the end of the day, he almost lost his life. And I think that when he looks at his partner and his kids, that's going to be the most important thing to him. So, yeah. You know, it would be horrible to see a footballer in his prime have to retire. But at the end of the day, he's got his life. And that's, you know, it's just the most important thing.
I mean, health is wealth and it should come first no matter your circumstance. However, it was fantastic to see he posted a photo on social media yesterday, him in the hospital bed, smiling, you know, seems like he's in a much better space physically, and he just wants to know more answers. So, you know, condolences to and best wishes to Eriksson and his family and his Danish teammates. But we need to move on from there, Kurt. We need to talk about France versus Germany, the opening match for these two teams, and arguably, well, in my opinion at least, the game of the week. What did you make of this match overall, Kurt? Who stood out for you the most?
Well, I think the obvious the obvious answer there is Paul Pogba. I thought he was sensational. But I also thought it was a fantastic defensive performance from France. It was just a great game. I think, you know, when you see two heavyweights like that go head to head, and all these big name players in every single position, you know, world class professional footballers, and battle it out on the international stage for one of the biggest international trophies, it's just an absolute treat. So yeah, I loved the game. I thought that France were great defensively. I don't think that France have to be very good to win matches, and that's what makes them terrifying. You know, they aren't a possession-based side. They don't play a lot with the ball. They rely on counterattacks and you know, with Kylian Mbappe's pace, you know, that's how you essentially break down teams, with Paul Pogba's vision, with N'Golo Kanté winning the ball back so easily. Just comes so naturally to him. He's such a smart, intelligent player, N'Golo Kanté. The balance in that side, that French side, I just think is incredible. And it's a cliche to say that France is going to win this trophy, and that they are the favorites, but they just absolutely are. Because as I said now, they didn't even have to be close to their best to beat Germany 1-0 and convincingly. So, I mean, they had two goals disallowed through VAR as well.
Yeah.
no, just a yeah, just loved that game.
Just to comment on your view on their style of play with possession. I saw the stats at the end of the game. Germany had like 59% possession. Mm-hmm. And like 10 shots, 6 on target, but France 41% possession, like 4 shots, 1 on target, and ultimately that's all you need. You know, if you can manage the game in that way, well, I'm pretty terrified.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you look at those chances that Germany had, none of them were really clear cut, but for Serge Gnabry's one effort where I think he potentially should have scored. It was the only time the German player...
And he should have laced it when it bounced over the goal.
Exactly. It was the only time a German player was left unmarked in the box. But that's the way France play. Look, they don't need to play with the ball. But then if they need to play with the ball, they can do that too because they've got some of the best footballers in the world in that side. They're two fullbacks... it's just such a balanced side because they're two fullbacks who bomb forward and who are very good offensively are actual centre backs by trade. So they are more defensive minded. So there's not this gung ho approach to attacking football in that French side. They don't just bomb forward mindlessly. There's method to the madness. They know exactly what is required. Each player knows exactly what's required from him in that system. And you know, this team is just looks like they're just going to get better. I mean, the guys that France have coming through, that French under 21 team is just phenomenal. And it just doesn't look like this period of dominance from this French team is ever going to end.
And you know, this current French side that we're seeing in the Euros at the moment, they're not the oldest team either. You know, Mbappe
is
22. I mean, I think Pogba may be pushing 30, but that doesn't mean anything. Lloris, I think, is the oldest in the team, and you know I still rate him incredibly highly. So the next, I'm gonna put all my cards on the table here. I think the next 5 years to the next 10 years is just gonna be France all the way. Like, they may not win every single tournament, but everyone will be feared to play them. Like, it's just gonna be horrible.
Definitely.
But let's stick with Germany here. I want to put you in a hypothetical situation, Kurt. I noticed that Germany don't necessarily have an out-and-out defensive midfielder. You know, like France has Kanté, who's all over the pitch, but he works hard in defense, like consistently.
Yeah.
They do have Ilkay Gundogan and Toni Kroos, but their style of play, I guess you can say, is more of an architectural type. So with that being said, if you were in Joachim Löw's shoes, you were the coach of Germany right now, who would you bring in as a defensive mid to help assist the out-and-out defenders at the back four?
It's a good question, and I think I would actually have Kimmich, who played at right back. I think I would move him into a defensive role in midfield. He's very versatile. He can play in a number of positions. But, you know, I think he's really good in that midfield position in particular. So, yeah, I think he would be the guy. I think Germany need to change it up. I can see what they were trying to do. They had essentially two attacking midfielders, and Toni Kroos and Gundogan aren't guys who are just going to get in the box at every opportunity. They do sit in that midfield role and try and dictate, both incredible on the ball, but they do need someone who can pinch the ball and turn over possession. And I think Kimmich, who reads a game so well, can be that player. So yeah, I don't know if Germany are going to make it through, man. If I'm honest with you, I think if we looked at this group F, which is deemed the group of death at this tournament, France, Hungary, Portugal, Germany, I think that I would have said Portugal and France are going to go through. So it wouldn't be the biggest surprise to me to see Germany not make it out of the group. But if Joachim Löw wants to give his team the best chance of doing that, he's absolutely going to have to switch it up. Especially when they play Portugal, who another great team, star-studded team.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect them to go past Hungary or to beat Hungary, but no, yeah, I would go with Kimmich definitely.
Amazing. Only time will tell, everyone. Kurt, thank you so much for the international news breakdown. That was Kurt Buckerfield, Soccer Duma international news correspondent. Have a fantastic day further.
Cheers, Aidan.
Moving on swiftly. George Moneleka, a lot has been said about his lack of game time in the past few weeks at Sundowns. There's been talks of him going on loan to certain teams. It'll be interesting to get your opinion here, Teko. I mean, I think when George has played for Sundowns, he's done very well. He's scored a couple of goals. He's been very creative. He's the George Manuleka we know. For me, he's still a six, but he's been used as an eight quite a bit. He's been used as a six as well. I still think there's a massive opportunity for him within the Sundowns team. I'm obviously very close to him, so I might be a bit biased. I'm very good friends with him, but I do think when George is on form, he's one of the best in the country, without a doubt. So it'll be interesting to see what the future holds for George. I believe he's got a lot to prove now this season. I believe he should stay and fight for his place, because I honestly believe he should be starting in that starting 11. He's certainly good enough. Teko, what do you think? I mean, you're obviously in the mix, so it'll be good to get your feedback.
In the mix. Sean, look, I think George knew coming to Sundowns, it's not going to be as easy. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very difficult, because this is the team that actually... known to be very, very, very good, especially in the midfield. And it's not easy as well to just walk into Sundowns team and be able to play. And whenever he was playing, yes, he looked like the George that can actually, come in and add value into the team, because we've seen how well he has done, especially last season in KZ Chiefs. And look, man, it's not gonna be easy for him. And I think with George's mentality, I think he's ready to fight for his place. And I think that can only help his game, because sometimes players take the easy way out, And also when you do that, you find yourself looking back and saying, if I could have done this, who knows where I'd have ended up. And I think this is one of his maybe greatest tests, as he's competing with the best midfielders in the country. Mm. And in order to be considered the best midfielder in the country, you need to step your game up. And George is capable of that. I mean, I think in that midfield, him and Coty are the only two players that can pass with both feet. Mm. And I think he needs to look at this positively, as to now that he is acclimatized to the team, now that he knows the players personally, things shouldn't be as difficult as it was when he arrived. Because when you come from a different team coming to Sundowns, you need to unlearn all that you've learned from other teams that you played in. So you need to learn the new style and the new DNA of Mamelodi Sundowns. And I think, he's in the right squad. And I saw him the other day when they were playing Cape Town City. He was on the stands. And George is George with his personality. He's crazy. Mm. He's a very jolly guy, fun guy. He doesn't look stressed. But all the other guys, they were saying he's crazy. But I understand why they're saying he's crazy, And for me, I'll say also with my experience to George is when I joined Mamelodi Sundowns, it wasn't easy. It was very, very difficult, and I had to earn my place there, and I needed to have a develop a character, that I'm there to actually play and contribute. I'm not there to just add the numbers on the superstars that are there. Mm. And I think George has the capabilities, he has the abilities, he has the quality. And the thing is, what he needs to know now is he needs to, when given an opportunity come this season, he needs to play beyond his game. He needs to push himself. And I think if he does that, we'll have a different conversation altogether. He just needs to stay there and fight for it. Let's see what happens. It's not like, sometimes it's very difficult to stay at a team that doesn't want you to stay, or just to play for a coach that doesn't want you there. Mm. So with George, is a different case altogether. He goes, he's got friends there, and everybody likes him. So now that you settle in, I think it's time now to put in your boots and get to work. And I think he's far better technically than Mvala, and look at also with Mvala as well, look at Lebo Mabue as well. They're all struggling this season. So it's not like midfield, Mamelodi Sundowns midfield were very, very dominant, but it also, you look at the coaches as well, they had to go with what they know, what's comfortable within the team. Mm. And as well, sometimes it becomes very difficult to change that team because of you're under stress to win. It's not like they were in a comfortable seat where they can rotate the team anyhow and anyway. You know, and I think coming this season, I think it's a fair chance for everybody, because not only George, there's so many players that need to step up their game for them to stay dominating, you know. And I think with George, I think he stands a very, very good chance, because Mamelodi Sundowns always plays with three midfielders, so he stands a chance of being there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, coming into his last year of his contract as well, we know the coaching staff love George Henshi. He wouldn't have been there if they didn't.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to fight for, you know. He's got a family, you know, there's a future.
Yeah.
You don't want to be having another, you know, not a great season and then ending up at a smaller team. But I think George will pull up his socks. I think he's certainly good enough. And, yeah, we'll wish him the best for the next season.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I had a conversation as well with Onyango and Tembezwane. Dennis Onyango. I said to them, guys, you guys need to understand that, you know, moving from Sundowns, going anywhere sideways, it's you end up regretting, because now you're fighting for stuff that normally Sundowns, you know, fighting for.
Correct.
You end up fighting for top 8 and all that type of stuff. So now you're having more stress on, and then now the responsibility becomes yours because you're from a big team. So I told them that, you know, where they are, it's where they should be. Stay there, you know, fight for honors, you know, win the trophies. That's where you want to be, because when all comes to end, you look back and be a very, very appreciative of all the things that you've won, and you realize how many players of more or less maybe the same quality that you have but never got an opportunity to be where you're at. So I think with George, he needs to realize the opportunity that he has. Like you said, he's got a family. And he's got stuff to win. You know, George still has the legs. He's still young. And he's got so many stuff to win. And that's the team that he needs to be in, where they're fighting to win everything. I'd rather have a stress of fighting to win everything than fighting to regain the status. You know?
Absolutely. Good point, Tick.
Only time will tell. However, it is now time for Place Your Bets. We've got two African games and two European games to predict here. So let's start off closer to home. We Dad versus Chiefs. Who's your money on?
I think Chiefs are going to win 2-1.
Chiefs 1-0.
Okay. Amazing. Both Chiefs wins. I like that. Al Ahly versus ES Tunis. Obviously, that is the other CAF Champions League semi-final.
Al Ahly to win 3-1.
What?
Yeah.
Yo, Al Ahly to win 1-0. I don't think they're as strong as they used to be.
Okay. Even with the big dog coach they have.
No, they do have a big coach, but I think the other teams are starting to narrow the gap. And that's why he's always is fighting now to sign more players, to spend more money. You know, and things are not as easy as he thought they would be, because he's coaching a very demanding team.
For sure.
So you need to beef up every season.
No, for sure. Everything's changing. Yeah. The first European game, gentlemen, Portugal versus Germany. Group F clash.
An entertaining 1-1 draw.
Against what?
Portugal, Germany.
Germany wins.
The German?
Look. The thing is, Portugal has got one of the most talented teams right now compared to 2016, I think. But the problem is, the Germans are machines. You know, and they know how to play big tournaments. And if you remember how Portugal won, guys, they never won anything in the group stage. But anyway,
Euros in 2016.
Yeah, they won the Euros. They're the defending champion, but they never won anything in group stage until they got to knockout and penalties. What? Then Mdala got injured in the final. But but I'm looking at Germans. I'm looking at Germans midfield. I know Germans now, especially in the group they're in, they're not regarded as one of the teams that might qualify. But for me, it's just that I know they'll cause an upset. Not an upset, but they'll do what they do best. I think they'll come out winners, especially in this group, with France in the group as well. Yeah, France.
I'm gonna hold that to you. Germany win group.
Yes, please.
Teko.
Yes.
Cool. And pretty interesting game here. You know how England versus Scotland, how the rivalry in all sports has always been massive there. Who's your money on that game, guys?
When is that?
Saturday.
That's Saturday. I've got to go England, man. Got to go England.
Yeah. England.
Come on, England.
Yeah. I watched Scotland yesterday and how they played. It's a must win for them, but I don't think they have the quality that England has. So I think England might Harry Kane might come through and then win for England.
Yeah, man, if you've got Sterling on form and Harry Kane nets a couple, all of a sudden England have got a chance there.
Yeah.
Just defensively, they worry me still.
I watched England's opener the other day. And, you know, Phil Foden, this new young kid on the block for City, has now just been called up to the national side. He had a ripper, hey?
He's next level.
Like, I'm going to be honest, like the third time I've watched him, because I've only like watched him against playing Manchester United. And it was just a joy to watch. You know,
we just watched the documentary on him. It's phenomenal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another interesting fact about the English side, more specifically a player, Jude Bellingham. He can still win Young Player of the Year in 2027.
No way.
Yeah. Played the game against for England the other day. He's 17 years old and like 300 odd days. He can't even buy Grand Theft Auto. Like, what were you doing when you were 17, Sean? Like,
you don't want to know, bro.
It's unbelievable. However, he's making history, and now it's time for This Week in Football History.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This week in 2010, Sipiwe Tshabalala scored the opening goal in the 2010 FIFA World Cup. This was a fantastic goal. I'm sure everyone listening remembers it. It did feature in the top 10 goals of the tournament as well. This week in 2001, Copenhagen beat rivals Brøndby for their second league title, thanks in part to a spectacular goal from South African striker Sibusiso Zuma. He basically won the title with a bicycle kick. He was also nominated for the FIFA Men's Player of the Year that year, and he tied in 29th place. And this week in 2009, Cristiano Ronaldo broke the then transfer fee record by signing for Real Madrid from Manchester United for 80 million euros. It was heartbreaking as a Manchester United fan. Yeah. And from This Week in Football History, we pass the mic back over to Sean for a car of the week.
This week we look at SuperSport United goalkeeper George Chakova's new BMW X4 Sport. The BMW X4 is a close cousin to the more common X3. Both are compact luxury SUVs, but the X4 differentiates itself with a sloping rear roofline that's meant to make it look more rackish and sporty. A punchy turbo four-cylinder engine is standard equipment, and a powerful turbo inline six is optional. And the X4 is pleasant to drive thanks to those engines and its robust handling. Its interior is nicely appointed as well. The lows cost more than the X3, there's less cargo space than the X3, and there's tighter rear seat room than the X3. The verdict, some might find the X4's extra style to be worth the price increase over the mechanically similar X3, but I don't quite get it. Coming in at 7.5 out of 10 and a whopping 900,000 SA RON.
The stats just don't add up.
They don't.
The rating for the price.
Yeah, well, it's BMW. I don't like BMW. Yeah, it's just who I am.
We love who you are, though, Sean. We do. We really do.
Thank you.
As mentioned a few episodes ago, we mix things up on the car wash these days. So the motivational quote, one week is Sean, and this week is Teko. What have you got for us this week, sir?
Fantastic, Aiden. With Raheem Sterling, you know, having had the tattoo of himself wearing jersey number 10 with the Wembley Stadium, coming into that game at Wembley Stadium and scoring and still wearing number 10, I think that for me on its own, that's the motivation, because, you know, he's a boy from England and he's always, you know, wanting to play for the national team. And I think he said, I always said that if I played at Wembley, I am scoring. And I think with what happened as well during the week with Christian Eriksen, I think we need something that'll, you know, put a smile on our face. And I think this is the one.
Absolutely. I did see that quote. Cool. I liked it. I really did.
Nice Teko.
Thank you, guys.
Nice Teko. He sometimes surprises me, this Teko Medisa.
What a guy.
He's quite sentimental. His wife's a lucky lady. I can tell you that.
I am that good, Sean.
Sure. Okay, Teko. Thank you, my friend.
And that is how we wrap up episode 78 of The Car Wash. Whether you have been tuning in on slpodcast.co.za, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, thank you so much for joining us today. I have been your host, Aiden. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you.
And that has been Mr. Teko Modise.
How am I with that?
We will see you all same time, same place next week. Cheers.
Cheers.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. This is a Flangana car.